Over the last couple months, we've been working through a process of pastoral calling and searching, and it's our pleasure this morning to have Eric Reamer with us. I think most of you received a letter in this past week indicating who you were going to be hearing this morning, and please come on up. I've had the pleasure of meeting Eric a couple times, so we welcome you.
Thank you.
And we hope you're not too nervous. We're not too scary here.
No,
you're not. So we welcome you, and I'm actually going to go with the kids to junior worship, so I'll leave them in your hands.
All right. Thank you, Danita, very much. This is the first time in a while that I've been preaching that I'm a little nervous, but hopefully you won't notice too badly. I want to tell you how humbled and thankful that I am to be here today to share the Word of God with you this morning. I want to thank the search committee for all their hard work and their prayers and their time meeting with us. And I can assure you that they are some wonderful folks, some of whom I actually know from many, many years ago. And it was a blessing to interview with them and to talk to them on the phone. I also want to thank our district executive, Georgia Markey. I'm not sure, Georgia, if you're in this service or not. There you are. I want to thank you for all the work and time that you've done. As most of you probably know, I come from outside of the Church of the Brethren denomination, and that caused a lot of extra work and some extra meetings and some extra things to try to figure out how to get all this done. And so, George, I want to thank you for your work at this time. I also would just like to introduce part of my family who's here this morning. If you guys would just stand real briefly. My wife, Janet, next month we will celebrate 26 years together, and then my daughter, Brianna, and my son, Ben, and my daughter, Angela, just went on down to junior church, or over to junior church, I guess it is, and two of my other sons will be here later. They're spending a couple of days with my father, who lives in Williamsport, so they'll be here for the second service. I wanted to say that I have been so impressed by the ministry here of Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren. I have listened to somewhere near 40 sermons online. I know you might think I'm strange, but I like to listen to sermons online. And so I've listened to many, many different speakers over the past couple of years here that you have them online, and I've listened to many of them. And I've read every lamplighter that you have online. And I can tell and could tell that God is at work here, and God is doing a great work here in Mifflinburg and Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren. And if you as a congregation, I believe, would accept the recommendation of the search committee, I would look to just continue that work and to continue to do the things that that God is already doing, and then hopefully to further that with you as we work together. And so this morning, I'm going to just take a few minutes to talk about the word work and sort of focus around work. Now, I've provided sermon notes that you can fill in the blank if you wish. Don't worry, they won't be collected later. So if you want to, you can fill those out as we go along. People say that most folks forget 95% of what they hear 72 hours after they hear it. That's not a good statistic for those of us who a large part of our job is speaking. And so if you want to process that one more time through one more sense in the act of writing, sometimes that may help to help you to remember what we talked about or to go back and talk about it even further. I want to welcome those of you who might be guests here today. This is sort of a unique day and a special day. Well, maybe you just happened to come here today for the first time, and this whole idea of Christianity is new to you, this church is new to you, and you're not really sure what you think about Jesus or what you think about the Bible. Well, I want to tell you that today's message is not going to be about me. There will be time to do that later, but we're just going to talk about the Word of God, and I want you to see the incredible investment that God wants to make in your life and the opportunity that God provides for you. So if you're here this morning, this is your first time, please don't think, oh, brother, what have I come to today? We're going to talk about the Bible as I like to do each and every week. Let's pray again. Father, I want to thank you again. I am humbled and excited to be here today. And I just pray that the Spirit of God would do all that he wants to accomplish in every one of our hearts. Father, you are the only one in this room who knows where each of us stand. You know how each of us has walked into this building this morning, whether we've had a good week, whether we've had a difficult week, whether we had a good drive here this morning, or whether we had conflict on the way here. And so, Father, I just give this time to you and ask you to do your work in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning, the notes say we will focus on the word work, and we're going to look at two verses from the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Let me just give you a little bit of background. The book of Philippians was written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Philippi, and it was a church that he had started, and we read about that in the book of Acts. And so he's written them a letter, which some of it is an encouraging letter, some of it is a little bit of an exhortation. And so right here, we're going to pick it up in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, and let me read those this morning. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. And what I like to do with each sermon is sort of boil everything down to one sentence. Just get everything kind of coalesced into one particular phrase or just a few words that kind of serves as what I call the big idea. And here it is this morning. As I work in my life, God's work is fulfilled through my life. As we work in our lives, God's work is fulfilled through our lives. And we're going to take these verses in sort of two bites this morning. And the first one is this idea, what does the phrase, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, mean? What does it mean when the Apostle Paul says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling? Well, let's first start by what it doesn't mean. What it doesn't mean is that we do not work for our salvation. We know from the scriptures that salvation is a gift of God. We are told through the Bible that we receive Jesus Christ, we get saved, we get to go to heaven, we have our sin forgiven, not because of the things that we have done, but because of what Jesus Christ has already done for us. And when we receive him by faith as Savior, the Bible says that we are forgiven of our sin, we have a home in heaven. Now, I've been in New York since May of 1994, and I have knocked on thousands of doors, and I've spoken to hundreds and hundreds of people. And I believe the statistics or the percentages are somewhere in the neighborhood of about 95% of all the people that I've talked to in New York think that they are going to get to heaven or somehow they can be made right with God by being a good person, or at least by being a not-so-bad person. That's the general consensus. It happens over and over and over again. When I ask the question, if you die today, would you go to heaven? Most of them say, I hope so. And I'll say, well, what is your hope based on? Well, I'm a pretty good person. I'm a good dad. I'm a good mom. Take care of my kids, pay my taxes, do those sorts of things. I'm not sure exactly how those statistics would hold in Pennsylvania, but I can pretty much guarantee you that somewhere on your street or the place that you work or in your school, there is a significant percentage of folks who still think or who believe that they get right with God or that they would receive salvation because of how they live their lives. And so what this verse does not tell us, or what this phrase does not tell us, is that we need to work for our salvation. If we think about this phrase in the context of Philippians chapter 2, I think it helps us to understand what Paul means. In Philippians chapter 2, many of you may be familiar with the beginning of that chapter. He talks about that we need to look out not only for our own interests, but also the interests of others. And he goes on to describe the humility and the humbleness of Jesus Christ and how Jesus humbled himself and became obedient even to the point of death, death on the cross. And then it says in verse 11 that God has given him a name, Jesus, a name above every name, that at his name every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. And then we hit verse 12 where we have the word therefore. And I think when you see the word therefore in the scripture, someone once told me that you should always try to figure out what it's there for. And I think that it connects verses 12 and 13 back to that idea of humility and submission. And as you and I begin to work out our salvation, one of the things I think we need to keep in mind is that our salvation is accomplished with an attitude of humility and submission. We work out our lives with an attitude of humility and submission, realizing what Christ has done for us. And then working out that salvation or living our lives in a way that is marked by humility and service. Someone has said that, you know, Christians are saved to serve. And I think that's very, very true. Now, this phrase has been confusing to people from time to time. And I just wanted to kind of think, or wanted to tell you that we can get some understanding of what work out your salvation really means by going outside of the Bible, because this phrase is never used again or is not used again in the scripture, work out your salvation. And so what we can find is that there was this man named Strabo, and he wrote about 60 years before Jesus Christ. And he wrote in the Greek language, which is the language of the New Testament. And he was writing about minors. men who were going into the silver mines that Rome had owned or had conquered. And he was writing about how they were at work in those mines, and he used this very same verb that Paul uses here in Philippians chapter 2. And I think that's a good analogy for us to think about, because if you are a miner, I don't know if we have anyone who's ever worked in a mine this morning. I've never worked in a mine, but I've seen the movies and things like that, and you go down into the mines, and you have to work in order to produce the things that are in the mine. If you work at a silver mine, you have to go down there and you have to dig out the ore and dig out the silver. Now, you don't actually put the silver into the mine. That's already done for you. That's not what you need to do. You just need to go down and work out that silver. I think that's an amazing analogy or illustration about salvation. When we receive Jesus Christ as Savior, God puts into our lives this great treasure of salvation. Love, joy, and peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, self-control, all of these things God puts into us. You didn't put it in there. I didn't put it in there. God puts it in there, but now it's up to us to work it out. It's up for us to mine it. It's up for us to let the Spirit of God produce in us actions and attitudes that others can benefit from as we work out our salvation. In your notes, it says the verb work out means to bring something to fulfillment or completion. There's another phrase here. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And I believe that's a way of expressing the word seriousness. If you're here this morning and you've received Jesus Christ as Savior, you've been given an incredible gift. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. But you've received it by faith, and God has placed in within you salvation. God has given you spiritual gifts. And it is now our responsibility, and it is a serious responsibility, to work that out, to mine that if you would. And that's not always easy, but that's what God desires for us to do. What if your neighbor had a gold mine and yet never worked it? What if they literally had a gold mine on their property, but they never went in there to work it out? You would look at that neighbor and you would think, you're crazy. How can you not get in there and dig out that gold? And if you're here this morning and you're not working out your salvation, you're not actively involved in that, you're not using the resources that God has given to you. And we don't have time to go into a lot of this, but let me just give you a couple of ideas of how to work out our salvation. The first idea is just simply to read the Bible. We have an incredible gift in this book that God has given to us and preserved to us. And we just take a little time each day to read it and then be involved in a Bible study on Sunday morning or maybe a small group during the week to get into and mine out the treasures that are here in the Word of God. Another thing that we can do is pray. We can pray. We have the opportunity to communicate to a living God who seeks to communicate to us. Another one is to serve God with others. And I know just looking at this church from the outside, I can see the incredible emphasis and importance that you place upon that. Whether it's going to New York City, the teens going to New York City and others, or whether it's going to Arizona, or all these kinds of places, and your involvement in the community, all you have to do is read the lamplighters that are online, and you can see that this is a church that is interesting in serving, that is interested in serving God and serving God with others. But it's probably not true of everybody. Probably not true of everyone here this morning, that everyone is truly engaging with God on a consistent basis and working out your salvation. So I have sort of a question for you this morning in the notes. It says, are you working out your salvation or wasting away your salvation? Are you working it out, or are you just like that person who has that gold mine and you're not working and mining it out? The worth of your salvation is greatly increased by how you work out your salvation. The evidence of others as they look into your life, or the evidence of your life as others look into it, and as others watch you from afar, which I assure you they do, your light shines brighter as we work it out. We don't work for it. God has placed it in us by our faith and through His grace. But yet, when you work it out, when you mine out the salvation that God has given you, the value of that as it relates to others, and even the richness and intimacy that you experience with Christ, is greatly, greatly increased. And it's never too late to begin. Maybe you're here this morning and saying, yeah, I really haven't mined that very much. It's never too late to start. It's never too late to get involved. And maybe you think, you know what, I can't do that. I don't really know how to read the Bible. I don't really know how to do all of those things. I can't do that on my own. Good news, you don't have to. That's what verse 13 is all about. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So if you turn over on the other side of the notes, the second bite of these verses, we're going to take right here. It is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. This is an amazing thought, that the creator of the universe cares about you to work in your life, cares about me to work in my life. The first thing that I want you to see here is that God is a personal God. God is a personal God. God works in you, in me. Another way of thinking about this is the next phrase there says, he is a God of relationship. He wants to work in our life. He has revealed himself as a father. Now, let's suppose that you really wanted to be a great investor. I don't know if anybody does anything like that, but let's suppose that you wanted to be a great investor, and you wanted to see if Warren Buffett would help you out. Do you think you could get on the phone or maybe send him an email and say, you know, Warren, I'd like you to come on over and live here in Mifflinburg with me for a few years and really teach me how to invest? Do you think he would do that? Not a chance. Suppose that you wanted to really learn how to play basketball. Do you think you could email LeBron James and say, hey, LeBron, could you come on over and we'll work 2 or 3 hours a day and you teach me some of your moves and some of your things? Do you think that he's going to give up his career in the NBA to come on over and teach you how to play basketball? Not a shot. Not a chance that that's going to happen. But the God of the universe, the God who created the world in which we live, the God who said light be and light is willing to work in you. For God, it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Even if you've neglected the treasure up until this point, even if you've not really worked it out, God has not given up on you. God has not turned away. God has not disqualified you. God says, yes, I'm here to work in you. You can work out your salvation with fear and trembling because I am here for you. Number two, God is a purposeful God. And the way I'd like you to think about this is that God gives us both the want to and the can do. God gives us both the want to and the can do. And let me just illustrate you for you this way. Many times we have one of those, but not both of them. When I was a child, some of you know, I grew up in Mifflinburg. We moved away when I was 13 years old. And I grew up here in Mifflinburg, and I loved basketball. And I played in all of the rec leagues in Mifflinburg, and I played on the junior high team, and I played on the ninth grade team. In fact, I played with Melanie Yoder's brother, Mike. He was better than I was, but I played with him. I played basketball with him for several years. And I wanted so much to be in the NBA. I wanted to be a professional basketball player. But there was a problem. Why are you laughing? See, without even knowing me greatly, you already recognize the problem. I am not tall. And not only am I not tall, but I am also not fast. And I cannot jump. And so as everybody got even taller and bigger and faster, the disparity got greater and greater and greater. And finally, I quit. But I had the want to. I really wanted to play in the NBA. And maybe in your own life, or you know others who have really wanted to do something, but they just did not have the ability. And then we have the other side. We see this in the media, or we see this in sports especially. You know, we see people who have the can-do. They have the athletic ability, or maybe it's the music ability, or maybe it's the intellectual ability. But they just don't want to. They don't have the drive. They don't have the desire. But God says that God is at work in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. God will never give you the desire without the ability. If God desires you to be a missionary across the world or across the street, he will give you the ability. If God gives you the spiritual gift of mercy, then he will give you the desire to serve other people. God always gives the want to and the can do. It is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. You have the vision statement here on the back of the building. Together we will passionately pursue and demonstrate the transforming life of Christ. And God has given this congregation both the can-do and the want-to make a difference, to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. One more point. God is a pleasureful God. And this is amazing stuff. It is God who is at work in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. God gets excited about my life. I mean, just think about that. God gets excited about your life. That's amazing. God gets pleasure from our thoughts and actions. If you're a parent here this morning, or maybe even as a child, you can remember back. If you're a parent, you do all that you can to pour your life and to pour things into the lives of your children. And then when they do something that's just really great, you might think to yourself, that's my girl, or that's my boy. What is that? It's an expression of you're getting pleasure out of the thoughts and actions of your own children. Most of you, or some of you, have probably been watching the Olympics. I think it was swimming wrapped up yesterday. And one of the really cool things about the swimming is that they always have shots of the parents in the stands. And you get to see Michael Phelps' mom and how she watches him swim and others. And can you imagine how incredibly satisfying that is for the parent of an Olympian who just even gets to the Olympics, but especially who wins a gold medal? That's my boy. Or in the case of the young lady who won the all-around gymnastics title, that's my girl. And they're so happy, they're so excited. Well, I'm here to tell you that your Heavenly Father gets great pleasure out of saying, that's my child, when you and I work out our salvation with fear and trembling. When you're teaching Sunday school, God is saying, that's my boy. When you're serving others, or when you're sharing the gospel with someone across your street, God is saying, that's my girl. I get pleasure out of that. When you and I repent of our sin, God says, that's my boy. When you and I forgive others, someone who's wronged us, God says, that's my girl. God is at work in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. The God of the universe is pleased when we individually and together, work out the salvation treasure that he has given to us through Jesus Christ. Now, I can tell just from looking in on the outside that that's what's happening here. And I know that God wants to continue that. And I know that God wants, maybe you're brand new to this church, or again, maybe you're just here for the very first time checking it out. I want you to know that that's what God wants to do in your life. God wants to be at work in you, both to will and to do, for your good pleasure, for his good pleasure. The big idea, again, is as I work in my life, God's work is fulfilled through my life. So my final question for you this morning is, how's work going? How's work going? If you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, then we didn't spend a lot of time on that this morning. I don't have time. But don't leave here today without talking to somebody about that. Wait, who is this God that will forgive me if I don't work real hard at it? Yeah, that's the God that we're talking about. That's the Christ that we serve. See me after the service. I'll be around. See someone else that maybe brought you, or someone else here in the church that will take the time to sit down and share with you the good news of Jesus Christ. Maybe you've been neglecting this salvation. I neglected it for 10 years of my life. From the time I was about a sophomore in high school until a year or two after college, I neglected the salvation that God had given to me. I wasn't working it out. So don't feel like, I haven't really. No, you can start today. Let this personal God, who has a purpose to fulfill in your life for his good pleasure, let him do it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for these words of Paul and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would take the words, your words, not mine, your words, and land them and root them wherever they are needed this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.